This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, a new pirate generation, everybody shout,
let's go Pirates!
One out, O'Neill Cruz, swing, fly ball, left field, Gordon back, and there it goes, home run, he tied the game! He mishit the ball and sent it over the wall in left field for a game-tying home run in the eighth. Jones ready. 2-2 pitch. Strike three call. He freezes Chisholm with an inside fastball. 10 strikeouts for Jared Jones in his major league debut. Three, two to Rowdy. Swing high fly ball center field and deep. Chisholm back. Warning track to the wall. There it goes. Rowdy Tellez smashes one out to center. And the Pirates have their first lead of the day. 7-6 here in Miami.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name is Nicholas Henry Callis. And this is the Fan Early Morning Show. Joe Block on those calls with the Pirates Radio Network. Pirate generation, everybody shout, let's go, Bucks! Four-game sweep of the Miami Marlins to start the year, and it's the first time since 1903 that they've swept a four-game series to open a season. And I'm excited. Let's go, Bucks! Call me, 412-928-9370. Let's talk about it. Let's get your reaction this morning to this sweep of the series, this great start to the Pirates season. Again, my name is Nicholas Harry Catlis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show for the Average Joe. And when the Average Joe wants to shop like a pro, the Average Joe, and go to CGR Wholesale, sponsor of the Fan Early Morning Show. I'm pumped. As you guys know, I love baseball, and when the Pirates do well, I'm just in an even better mood. It's nice that the Steelers aren't the highlight of the week to start this week with baseball season here. So, yay. Again, call me to react, 412-928-9370. Got some things to talk about. There's just a whole conversation to be had now about multiple different topics surrounding the Pirates. Paul Skenes had a good start in AAA. And Ben Cherington talking about how he's getting ever closer to becoming a Pittsburgh Pirate and being on the Major League roster during the regular season. Jared Jones, consistent 100-mile-per-hour fastballs in his start, struck out 10 guys and got the win in his Major League debut. So that's a story. Aroldis Chapman still dealing in triple digits. I saw him pitch yesterday in relief in the eighth inning, and man, he can still throw it. He's got a slider that seems to be harnessed now as well. That's just the pitching, by the way. I've heard some people talk about, too, that the Pirates' offense is so good. If you have pitchers giving up four runs in games on average, if the ERA is around four, well, the Pirates can seem to be able to consistently score more than four runs on any given day, and it seems every game in this series they did indeed score over four runs. The offense was present throughout this entire series, and not even Bailey Falter, who quality start, he did well enough for them to win, though, in that game. The Pirates came back yesterday and won, and you heard Rowdy Tellez's call there at the beginning of the show here. He hit a three-run home run to give the Pirates the lead, And, yeah, I mean, they came back a couple times in this series. There's just so much to dissect, so much to get into about this game, this series, yesterday's game, the entire series, and what's to come. The Pirates, at the end of the week, are going to be back home to play an interleague series to start their home schedule against the Baltimore Orioles. They've got to play the Washington Nationals, though, first, a team that's not toward the top right now, not perceived as very strong. So they play at 4:05 today, and it's a three-game series. And the Pirates come right back home. So we're coming back to the Northeast Coast here today, and then they'll be right back in Pittsburgh on Friday. So a series that starts today. They have an off day tomorrow. They'll play Wednesday and Thursday against the Nationals, and then Friday they'll be home to play the Baltimore Orioles. So I'm thrilled about a lot of what I'm seeing from the Pirates so far this season. Everything seems to be coming together, and more so I say that because the offense of this team is making up for the lack of pitching depth right now that they have. Now, Jarrett Jones coming out and breaking out, I mean, he made a great start, and that's something that you love to see, something that you may not have expected right away, his instant success. So that's cool. That's one of those stories. Aroldis Chapman, again, like I talked about, he's throwing well, and you like to see that from the back end of your bullpen, especially for a guy that you may have had some age concerns already to start the year. He's looking in true form, so that's good to see. I always like to keep, though, I heard Derek Shelton talk about yesterday during the Pirates pregame show before the Pirates beat the Marlins, where he talked about maintaining expectations. He was talking more specifically about Jarrett Jones and his start. But maintaining expectations, I think, is good. Now, we as fans, we want to make sure that, you know, last season doesn't happen again where they have a really strong April and then everything just kind of slides back. And there were a lot of factors that played into that as well. Ke'Bryan Hayes seemed to be nursing an injury. O'Neill Cruz had an injury that kept him out of games. So I think that it's important to make sure that, you know, we don't wait, you know, just to through April to see where the Pirates are going to be and what they're going to do. And Derek Shelton, I think, embodied this very well when he talked about Jarrett Jones' start, but I think it can be applied to everywhere. He said, yeah, Jones had a good start, but we want to make sure that we're maintaining expectations. So it's good that he had a great start, but we're still going to make sure that we maintain expectations for him. And I think those are strong words, and those are powerful words to think about it when you think about it. Because sometimes I think we as fans, or maybe, you know, we as humans in general, just when something's going good or when something excites us, we kind of get antsy, and then our expectations naturally heighten because we want the Pirates to go 162-0, and we want every day to be a great day, and we want to make sure that there are no rough stretches in a season, right? Those are just things that we naturally desire for, and after a series like the Pirates played, you know, to start this year, our expectations, I think, as fans just naturally heightened because that's what we do. We're fanatics. And if you really love the team, yeah, you're going to be excited and you're going to expect the most. I think, though, it's important within the organization, though, to kind of, what Shelton said, maintain those expectations. Like, yeah, you know, we're going to make sure that if he drops off a bit, if that naturally happens, that we're not going to hold him too far, you know, down. But also, like, we're going to ride this high and just make sure that, you know, if he keeps giving us these games, that we're going to keep putting him in the rotation and keep giving him opportunities to play, to pitch. So I like that. I like that the team's not getting too high or too low. They're keeping it professional, and they're playing it like they should, even if we as fans don't do that. But I think that can be applied to the entire season, which is, you know, we as fans get excited for sure. But don't let 1 month here either, like, determine how you should feel about the team. And play every day as as what it is that day. I think, you know, last year we were getting ahead of ourselves, and I remember Joe Starkey on what was the Cook and Joe show last year. I remember him going into great detail, and he said that the Pirates would have to have a monumental collapse after April to not be in contention for the playoffs, and then they went on and they had a monumental collapse. And I've been around Crowley enough to know that jinxes do exist, but Starkey, I heard that as well, and I'm like, ah, he's right. And then they didn't do well toward the end of the stretch, or toward the middle of the season last year. They did finish strong, but my point is that play every day at one time with this team. Don't get too anxious. Don't get too excited. Don't get too down. Enjoy this team for what it is. And Jared Jones, I think, is a wonderful surprise, and paired with an offense that just fought back. I mean, they were on base plenty of times. I know they struck out a heaping amount in that first game, but they still came back. They still clawed back. And it seemed like, I mean, the number of players in our highlights here that I'm seeing, just in our audio archive here, where somebody got credit for a highlight. There's just a lot of people. Brian Reynolds, Key Brian Hayes, Rowdy Tellez. Jason DeLay bunted for an RBI yesterday. So, I mean, there's a lot here where you can feel good about this team, especially on the offensive front. There's still question marks at pitching, but Paul Skeens having a solid first start in AAA for this season, he's somebody that you can look forward to, where you put him into the rotation and things start to get shaken up and you start to really have faith in your pitching depth, matched with Jared Jones and Mitch Keller. Yeah, I mean, there is plenty to look forward to this season, just based on that series. Now, there will be tougher opponents. The Marlins are not the toughest opponent to play. Neither are the Washington Nationals. So, I mean, I'm excited though to see if this team can play better against National League Central opponents, which has been a struggle for as long as I can remember. Their head-to-heads against National League Central teams, if they can get that together and do well against teams in division, they will have major success this year. It's great that they swept the Marlins, and I have high hopes for them against the Nationals. Now they got to batten it down against those divisional opponents, which I don't think there are too many series. I think there's only two series in April where they play National League Central teams. And just kind of skimming the schedule, yeah, they play the Brewers. They start a series with the Brewers on the 22nd of April. And then, if I didn't miss one, it looks like that's it. Yeah, so they're not playing NL Central opponents very much this month, so that could work out in their advantage as well, build up a good record, and then, you know, start those series. I've heard that too. I've heard that opinion, which I buy that. Where they talk about Paul Skeens, maybe they're keeping him to develop in the minors because there's not too many division games early in the year, so they want to develop him and let the Pirates, you know, fare with the depth that they have now against maybe perceived weaker teams as well. Their schedule doesn't look super strong in the month of April either. They play the Tigers, the Phillies, the Mets, the Red Sox. I mean, all those teams. Yeah, maybe the Phillies are the strongest of them all, but the rest of them don't scare me on their face too much. Then the Giants and the A's. Well, you should be afraid of the A's because the Pirates lost that series last year, and then that's when things went downhill around the same time. So maybe worry about that one, but that's at the end of the month. So yeah, not a super strong schedule, and then you get into May. You got the Cubs, Brewers, Cubs again. So yeah, maybe they're developing Skeens. I've heard that theory. Maybe they're developing Skeens down the stretch here in April to get him repetitions and then bring him up when the schedule starts to get stronger and you know, division games start to become more prominent. So, I mean, it's possible. And I buy that. I just hope that they bring him up sometime in May and add him to a pitching rotation that didn't look too bad. Definitely pitching was a problem this weekend, there were some times where I had worry. But the offense bailed him out. And again, I heard Dan Zangrilli talking about it before the game. I believe it was the Starkey on Thursday, but it's about, you know, if you're going to have a starting rotation that should get its earned run average down to close to four, and that's something that it's struggled with in these past few years, you get that ERA down around four, and then you just got to tell your offense, or the offense has to have the mentality, okay, can we score at least four runs through nine innings every game, four or five runs? This offense seems like it can. So that's important. Now, they can do that. If they can maintain that through the season, they will have a successful season. And, yeah, just through these first four games, it's feeling exciting. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show, talking Pirates all morning because they swept Miami Marlins over the weekend, their first sweep of a four-game series to open a season since 1903. We'll keep talking about it. I'll take your calls as well as long as I'm on the air here. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. You can also talk to me on X at Callis underscore 33 is my handle there. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. If you have comments, questions, you're welcome to speak those out on X. And again, the phone number one more time. You can get a line right now, 412-928-9370. Again, my name is Nicholas Harry Callis. I'm going to come right back after this break. You're listening to the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and we're celebrating baseball this morning, and the Pirates in particular, because they swept the four-game series against the Miami Marlins to start the year. You can get a phone line right now, 412-928-9370. We'll talk about it. We'll react together. We'll celebrate together. And there's some concerns as well that you're welcome to voice, I think, that are legitimate, especially with the pitching. So call me, 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X if you mention me in a post. That's at Callis underscore 33, C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. Mention me in a post there, and I respond to those equally as I do phone calls. We'll start with this caller now on the line. Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Hammer from White Oak.
Hammer, what's up?
Oh, nothing much, man. Speaking about the Pirates, I'm really not so much concerned with the pitching. I think last year what really torpedoed the Pirates season last year was the Cruz injury. I think if he didn't get injured, I seriously think the Pirates had a legitimate chance of making the playoffs. He just adds so much more to that offense. And this Marlins series proved it. They averaged 8 runs a game these last 4. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think, like I said, as long as Cruz stays healthy, I think they may be a legitimate contender.
Hammer, thank you for the call. Yeah, that's absolutely a valid take there. And that's something that many of us dissected as well. How much did Cruz's injury impact that lineup, that team? And I think I even said it about a week ago, he just brings such a threatening presence into the lineup that you have to pitch around him, and then when you face the other guys have less pressure on them and can also come through in big situations because Cruz gets on base because teams are afraid to pitch to him. Or when teams make mistakes, he's likely to hit a ball into a gap or hit the ball over the wall. So, Hammer, great take there for sure. That a big concern last year was Cruz got hurt and the lineup got weaker as a result. Especially when you had Austin Hedges in the lineup. No offense, love Austin Hedges. He's a World Series champion now. But no, in all seriousness, the dynamic of that lineup was not the same, you know, with Cruz out of it. And then, you know, the hitters last year seemed a bit weaker by comparison. Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes were asked to take on a lot, and Hayes was already apparently dealing with a back injury. So, for sure, that's definitely a noticeable. There was something noticeable about the lineup that could have hindered them. So, Hammer, I'm with you there. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your observation. Now we'll take this caller, 412-928-9370. Good morning. What's your name?
My name's Lou.
All right, Lou, what's up?
Hey, first of all, I really enjoy your show. I listen to it driving to work every morning.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Hey, about the Pirates. So, yeah, I'm a lifelong Pirate fan, and I've been around to see the 71 World Series and the 79 World Series and all that good stuff. So, to me, they look like they have improved. You know, optimism is always great, and I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be a very entertaining team, just like I thought they were last year. But maybe they'll go a little bit farther this year. Pitching is going to be a concern, but there are two things I wanted to ask you about. Hopefully I did not miss this, but two things. One, why was O'Neill Cruz batting so low in the order the first couple games? And the second thing is, I don't understand why everyone was so concerned about Henry Davis behind the plate. Now, I mean, he wasn't perfect. I'm not going to say he's the greatest catcher in the world. But he sure as heck didn't look like he was struggling. He had all the confidence that I think he should have as a young catcher. And, about framing the pitches and all that, from what I saw, he was doing that good. I don't understand why that was a concern.
Well, Lou, thank you for the call. I'll address O'Neill Cruz first. So Derek Shelton talked about, I think I heard this on his pregame show yesterday, too, when I was listening. They're talking about managing players' reps and workloads. Cruz is getting more attention on him because he's still, not that he's like recovering heavily from his injury, but they're limiting his workload in certain areas to make sure that he doesn't aggravate the injury that he suffered last year and that he's been recovering from in games in April. Because April, you'll get a feel for what players are doing, and then May is really when you're solidifying those lineups or you're playing games that matter more in terms of division status. Like, again, they only play one series in April against an NL Central opponent, and then they open May with like two. So I think the idea is that they are trying to make sure that Cruz doesn't get overworked in April and that he can really like recover, make a full recovery, not do anything in games that aren't that necessary. Or games that don't really have that importance right now, that they're not working him to where like he'll get hurt again in games in April. That's pretty much it. That was Derek Shelton's explanation. So I think batting him lower in the lineup for a game or two, I think that is part of that reasoning. And he had an off day yesterday, and Shelton explained that's why. And not just Cruz, or there was a few other players that he gave that reasoning to, but that's why. Cruz is batting down in the lineup, I believe, just to make sure that he's not, on the field too much and being overworked right now too much. Now, again, I mean, he's batted in the lineup. He's been a prominent force. That's fine. But right now they're regulating his off days, and I think they're regulating his spots in the lineup or moving him around in the lineup just to see how he does and how he performs, to make sure he's not going to aggravate that injury in games that, again, are not as consequential as they will become as the season continues to move forward. Now, for Henry Davis, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't answer that for why he why they may have questioned the faith in him based on how he's playing. But, again, hindsight's 20/20. With Yasmani Grandal's injury, they had enough time to see him behind the plate and to have faith that he's going to be a solid catcher. Now, Michael McHenry, I saw he talked in an interview somewhere, I forget where it was, but McHenry said that Henry Davis has caught the fewest amount of games among all catching prospects, I think, recently or since the minor leagues have been around, to be able to come up in Major League Baseball and catch. Usually catchers get more reps than Henry Davis did, and he's actually had among the shortest of reps of any catcher that's come up and been developed in an organization. So he had most of the spring, though, to really figure it out, and he figured it out, and management saw that he figured it out, and the Yasmani Grandal injury created an opening there, and now he's playing, and now he's starting. So I'm not going to look too much into the past. I think the Pirates had reasonable concern about Henry Davis just based on how little time he really developed in the minor leagues. But the fact that he's doing well now, yeah, there's no need to look back. He's here now. He's here on opening day. He made an impact in that series like many others did. So I suggest we move forward with that, because now they're seeing it and he is a prominent force there. But they had to see him through spring, I think, to really have the confidence in him. So let's just be grateful that he's on the roster now, and they don't look like they're going to take him out of the lineup anytime soon. One more caller, 412-928-9370. Go ahead, make it quick for me. What's your name?
Madrid,
okay, real quick. You got about a minute.
All right, cool. So Falter, man, what an unfortunate last name, right, for a pitcher. But, Boyd, you know, four innings, his earned run, it was just bad. What do you think the potential is of them getting or acquiring, and even who's available as a starting pitcher out there? Man, one more decent starting pitcher here, and man, they can really make some waves in our division.
Sure, Madrid, thank you for the call. Quick answer to that. What's been theorized is that Falter is right now occupying the space that Paul Skenes may occupy here very soon, within the next like month or two. So that's my short answer there. They don't have to acquire anybody. They have a guy in development right now, and if he continues to pitch well in the minor leagues, they're probably going to bring him up in the next month or two. So that's the answer there. Falter could very well be occupying the spot in the rotation that Skenes will occupy coming up later in the season.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.